Microphone, there we go. I am thankful today for our Sunday school class sharing their leadership with us today, from reading a scripture to the call to worship to ushering to lighting candles to handing out the bulletins. Thank you to our Sunday school for helping today. It is seen and it is appreciated. Well, after Mr. Royce there read from the beginning of the Bible, the very, very beginning of First Genesis, we're almost going to the other side for the reading for the sermon and for our reflection today. We go to the book of First John, which is a letter that the Apostle John had written to a community. So we'll be starting in verse 7 of chapter 4, and it's almost to the end of the Bible there, but it's still an important passage of Scripture for us as we go through this season of Lent, reflecting on our faith and our connection with God. So I invite you to hear these words at verse 7 of chapter 4 of 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent us His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's see. So in this season of Lent, we'll be looking at the Apostles' Creed as a statement of faith. It's an ancient statement of faith that connects us, you know, in our faith, you know, that from us in our present right here, you know, in 2019, back across the centuries to the earliest part of the Christian movement. And the Apostles' Creed in particular, if you have a hymnal with you handy, I invite you to take a look at this here, because there's the Apostles' Creed we'll take a look at, but we'll also look at the Nicene Creed on the other page there. If you look at the Apostles' Creed here, it's a pretty clear statement. It's not a particularly long statement of faith. And it's one of the most ancient, I would say, universally accepted creeds in the Christian tradition. As I shared with our young people, it's attributed back to about, the 2nd century AD. And tradition teaches us that it goes back a bit further to those first apostles who knew Jesus, who experienced Jesus, who were taught by Jesus, and witnessed, Jesus on this earth. And it started to be written down, about that 2nd century, which kind of follows a pattern that we see in the biblical literature of, things being oral tradition for, several years, even hundreds of years, and then finally being written down. But the Apostles' Creed here, as I mentioned, is almost universally accepted in the Christian tradition because of its age and also because of its influence. We use a variation of these words here in our baptism and our confirmation, and even you can use it in weddings and funerals as well. Some faith traditions use this, constantly, in their worship and through, life, moments and in life cycles. It's used constantly to ground and to reconnect us with, our faith and to unify us in our witness. Now, if you look at the other page there, 880, the Nicene Creed, there's a difference between these two here, but they're both important, they're both ancient texts. The Apostles' Creed does date back a little older than the Nicene Creed. But the Nicene Creed here, I mention this because the Apostles' Creed influenced the Nicene Creed. And if we're talking about old stuff here, this comes from one of the first gatherings of the church leadership, the ecumenical councils, the first ecumenical council in Nicaea. And if you're a map nerd like I am, it's modern-day Iznik, Turkey. So if you look on a map of Turkey, kind of near the coast, south of Istanbul there, it's is Iznik. 325, we have this statement coming to us from. And it was one of the first official, statements of doctrine, of understanding, of our faith. And it was influenced by the Apostles' Creed. And like the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed is seen, you know, throughout the world as a unifying statement of the Christian faith, of what unites us, you know, not just here in Wiley and in Prowers County, but throughout the world. No, it's used in worship all the way across Europe into Africa and the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, all the way into India to the Martoma Church, which would be the Church of St. Thomas, one of the most ancient expressions of Christianity in India. And it's used throughout the Christian world. And so we'll be looking, you know, at the Apostles' Creed, but there's moments the Nicene Creed may, you know, come into our reflection. But these ancient statements of faith that we have here connect us. They ground us. They also inspire us and also remind us of our faith and who we are connected to. Now, these statements of faith, we'll be using them, or especially the Apostles' Creed, we'll be using the Apostles' Creed as a guide through Lent for us to examine our faith and examine our connection that we have with God and also with each other in that. And we start today with that first statement of the Apostles' Creed of, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And I believe in this statement here, it grounds us, it kind of sets the scene for the rest of our, you know, that Apostles' Creed as well, but also for our faith. Because when we're thinking about our faith, especially examining our faith, where we have this season to look at it, it's important to start at the beginning, at the origins of our faith, at the first, you know, moments that we have in Scripture even, of who we are and whose we are, more importantly. Royce read this morning out of 1 Genesis there, in that passage of Scripture where light was created and God was working in that formless void. And I have to admit, there is a joke that I've seen that I really enjoy, is that when God created light, God was then able to see that there was nothing, you know, after the light was, you know, created there. And it gets me thinking, though, and one, I kind of chuckle when I see that, but it also gives me to think, really, how far back God was at work, you know, creating, you know, before and working, you know, before there was really anything we could conceptualize. God was at work. And I find that fascinating, but also incredibly comforting, because it reminds us that our foundation goes back across the eons and back into a place and with a people who can bear witness to our faith and experience God as well. Also, when we had our children up here kind of talking a little bit about them, this caused me to redefine and rethink my definition of old, of what I consider an experience to be old and what I consider to be even, you know, impermanent perhaps, or part, you know, of who I am. When I was in college, I had the opportunity in my major field of study of philosophy and religion to travel to Greece. And it was a part of a class on the ancient, you know, philosophy and religion of ancient Greece. And we're going through, you know, visiting most sites from the golden age of Greece, you know, in 600 BC, you know, such as the Acropolis and Athens, and on into ancient Corinth, even the rebuilt Corinth, where Paul would have written the letters that we have, you know, in the New Testament. And looking at, you know, those places there, and being where I grew up in Kansas, you know, old for us was perhaps maybe 1880s. You know, 1870s is pushing it. And here we're interacting with places that trace their back, you know, history back, you know, over 2,000 years. And for me, it hit walking around the ruins of ancient Mycenae, which is where the Trojan Wars were launched from, dating back to 1200, 1400 BC. I mean, that really was a new definition of old for me right there. It supplanted my definition of old being my grandfather in that point right there. But I also think, too, when I'm thinking about how we define old, how we define ancient, and why that is important, I shared also when I was a young child, I thought my grandfather was one of the oldest, you know, things on earth. I mean, I chuckle with that fondly, you know, thinking about that. But in my world, you know, as a, you know, 2, 3, 4-year-old, I mean, that was reality for me. My grandfather was the oldest person that I knew who was invested in me. And we think about, you know, people who have invested in us. We can think about how, you know, far back perhaps they were at work, you know, before perhaps we were born. You know, their experience and wisdom that has been shared with us, as my grandfather shared his experience and wisdom with me. And we really build our faith. Our faith is grounded in that tradition, that experience, and that wisdom. And so when we're thinking back to our God who created us, I find comfort in that because it shows us how far back our God has been working in the world. Because when we have those days that don't go like we planned, when we have things that come into our lives that we don't expect, no, don't exactly expect perhaps, or we want to experience, perhaps there's machinery that has to be worked on, perhaps there's paperwork that needs to be done, and especially perhaps in this season, there's taxes that have to be paid and filed and all that. You know, we can get lost and our foundation can shift. Even if, you know, we are doing everything we can to stay grounded to our God, we can hit things and experience things, and things can hit us even, that knock us off that foundation, that ancient foundation, that ancient grounding of our faith, and more importantly, our God. But also when we think about our God being, you know, that creator, that maker, the one who has brought us into this world, it also makes those things that we do experience that come and go through our lives, it also helps put them in perspective. Even on days where we experience time changes, we can still rely that our God, you know, has an eternal nature to God. There's an eternal nature that goes beyond the changes we experience in time, perhaps. Or our experience. It goes beyond what we can imagine or experience. And for us, as we examine that, as we examine our faith, this is where the words that come out of 1 John, I believe, are helpful in guiding us and getting us in a direction of examination. Because these words were written to an early Christian community, trying to grasp what it meant to be Christian, to be people who were following Christ, but also knowing that their faith had roots, you know, in the Jewish tradition, there's guidance here from John to that community. And I believe it comes to us here in that last, or not the second to last verse I read in verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. And then by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. It acknowledges some of that eternal nature there, the unseen aspects of God, but also makes that relationship with God very real with us, a part of our experience, a part of our lives. Because we do have those things that will distract us and pull us away. But when we come back to our God and live as God calls us to live, we become reconnected and grounded in God. It's important for us to look at our lives and to see, is our life any different because of our foundation in God, because of our foundation in Christ? How do we express that foundation in our lives? It looks different for each and every one of us because of our circumstance, because of our lives, because of our occupation, and our understanding, you know, of Scripture and God. But I believe, though, when we start thinking along those lines in this season, start examining ourselves, it gives us that opportunity to grow, to reconnect, to reestablish that foundation with our true foundation in God. And thus we come back to that Apostles' Creed there, that ancient statement of faith, if I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe we're called to live as a people who are grounded in our faith and grounded in our God. So as we go through this season, let us examine our connection with God. Let us consider how we are showing that relationship, our beliefs about God in our lives, so others can experience that grace, that hope, and that love. It's never an easy thing when we start looking at our lives and our faith, and start examining. It's never an easy thing. But I believe we have these seasons in our Christian year to pull us back to who we are and back to who we belong to. Not so that we are further separated or penalized or anything like that, but rather so we can stay connected and grow and be the people that God calls us to be. So as we examine, let us be regrounded, reconnected, and reestablished with God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Amen.